You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Very special guest joining us now. He was the first ever North American, who just happens to be Canadian, to wear the yellow jersey in the Tour de France. It happened 31 years ago, back in 1986. Of course, running businesses now. Alex Steeda joined us. Alec, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And you know what? You look way back in 1986, and we've been watching the Tour de France. I watch it here and there. You know, there's lots of different strategies. You know, cycling, of course, kind of took a bad rep for a long time because of, Armstrong and all of the drug allegations. Do you think it's cleaned up now? Or even as a former cyclist, are you skeptical of it now?
Well, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure, and happy to share my thoughts. Absolutely, cycling has cleaned up. I am 100% convinced about that. There are many ways that you could look at it right now, and to describe how cycling has cleaned up. Number one is the drug controls are much stronger than they ever were back in the 2000s, never mind back when I raced in the 80s. They're taking blood and urine samples from the guys every day. They're also doing random tests out of competition. Cycling is one of the most highly tested sports in the world, and a lot of people don't realize that.
Okay. So now, what's interesting about it is, you know, there's so much strategy in the Tour de France, and, you know, you get your guy, you get him in the middle of the peloton, and he obviously has to work much less than the guys at the front. As somebody who's been in the Tour de France, how much of it is strategy? How much of it is just, you know, like, are the best riders on each team clearly that much more dominant overall than the ones who have to kind of be the leaders to break the win majority? Like, what's the separation?
Well, the best riders truly have amazing talents. They're good at climbing. They're good at riding in the flats. They're good at riding by themselves in a time trial situation. So, and that's a bit of a natural selection as far as, you know, who has the talent to do that. And then the teamwork aspect is something that's often highly misunderstood. People don't really understand exactly how much the team the teamwork aspect is needed. Chris Froome, for instance, who's leading the Tour de France right now, has 8 other guys on his team that just completely sacrificed themselves to ensure that Chris is always in the right position, giving him a draft so that at the end of the race, Chris can take over and be the guy to go for the lead.
How much training goes into being a competitive Tour de France cyclist?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, we can easily watch the Tour de France every day and say, oh, that's the best rider in the world. But what they don't realize is, you know, that guy was a kid starting cycling at 12 years old, road cycling, track cycling, mountain bike cycling, cyclocross, did all sorts of different cycling events as a young athlete. And, you know, just like hockey, just like football, these guys started playing sports early. Now, maybe not cycling. Different pros come from different walks of life for many different sports. But for the most part, a lot of these guys started cycling at a young age and then graduated through the ranks slowly but surely. And, you know, by luck and by chance and by attrition, they were able to rise up through the ranks and become a professional.
Alex Steeda joins us. He was the first North American, he's Canadian, to wear the yellow jersey at the Tour de France. Now, Alec, when you talk about that training as Canadians, what do you think has to happen? Like, will Canada? I know you can't be dominant in every sport worldwide. Is it more just a cultural thing where a lot of kids just don't start from a young age, and so it's really tough to all of a sudden at the age of 16 or 17 become an elite cyclist?
Yeah, I mean, a combination of things I think are happening in Canada right now. We're building more indoor velodromes. These are indoor cycling tracks with steep banks where people can ride indoors, you know, without any cars in the way. They can do that 24 all year long, and you don't have to worry about snow or anything like that. And that's the best way to develop a young cyclist, is put them on an indoor velodrome. There's one built in Milton, Ontario. There's for the Pan Am Games. Another one was built in Burnaby, and now we're building one in Edmonton as well. And that's going to be the key to developing the next level of cycling talent in Canada, because then you don't have to worry about all the extraneous factors getting in the way of someone's cycling development. And I also say this, hockey players need to have another way to train, not just on ice, but off ice. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, there's been lots of dry land training done with hockey players. Cycling is actually a perfect cross-training activity for hockey, because it's an anaerobic power sport on the track, which is very much like hockey, where you go, you go hard between the blue lines. It's a hard, short burst of energy, just like track cycling. Plus, you're also moving your legs quick, which is all about leg speed, which is what people in hockey love to have, is guys with quick leg speed, and that's what track cycling teaches. So once we get our velodrome in Edmonton, yeah, I tell you, there's going to be some interesting cross-training opportunities there, and we'll develop better hockey players, but we'll also develop a new crop of young cyclists as well.
Now, interesting, because I wanted to ask you, so what did you find would necessarily be, if you were in another sport and you're like, well, I like cycling, so I want to use it because it can strengthen my legs and cardio and everything. So would it be interval training where you do a lap as fast as you can, then you slow down for a lap, then you do another lap as fast as you can? Like, would that be the best? What's your experience?
Well, there's lots of different types of interval training. So you could do, longer intervals of, whether it's, you could do 10-second bursts, you could do 20-second, 30-second, you could do it by time, you could do it by laps. When you have an indoor velodrome, you're able to control those efforts in a very, very concise way. So coaches really like working with athletes on an indoor velodrome. So, in fact, I would venture to guess 80% of the guys racing the Tour de France today all started riding on a track.
The velodrome obviously is very different than the mountain terrains of the Tour de France. Like, when I watch it sometimes, that's what blows me away. It's not just like riding your bike. You can ride your bike on a flat surface, it's hard enough. Then you get into the mountains. And how much of a transition was that for you? Like, I know you're from Vancouver, so maybe you were training out in Whistler. I'm not sure as a young kid or not, but I don't know if you ever got to train in those conditions. Like, did you ultimately have to be in Europe full time to become competitive to be on the Tour de France?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly do have to commit to changing and changing your life when you become a pro, or when you want to become a pro. You have to commit to moving to an area that's more suited to the terrain of cycling that you're good at. I wasn't a big climber. My body's not built for climbing, so I was better at riding on the short hills and crosswinds of Belgium, for instance. Whereas other athletes are, they're leaner, they're smaller, they're better at climbing. Well, they should be focused on getting better at being good climbers. So move to a location where there's more climbs that you can train on, as an example. And the Tour of Alberta is coming up here, of course, and we've got a mix of courses in the four stages of the Tour of Alberta, September 1 to 4. So we think it's going to be an interesting mix of rider that will it'll challenge riders who are good climbers, because we'll have a stage up at Marmot Basin. But then we'll have three stages around Edmonton where it'll be a different kind of rider that will be able to excel.
The Tour d'Alberta, of course, is coming up again, and we're getting quality riders. They've changed the track a few times, and it seems like it's growing, and there's getting more interest in it. We get a lot of text right now. People are loving your insight, and they're always like, how can we make it a better spectator sport when it comes? Is there anything that you've seen that you say, okay, Canadians, this is what you have to do to make it great to come watch it live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tricky, because bike races are hard to watch if you don't know what's going on. They go by quickly, and it's hard to keep track. So what we try to do at the Tour of Alberta, and a lot of races in North America for that matter, is to ensure that there's at least three or four circuits at the finish of every stage. So the guys might go out and ride 160, 170, 180K, but when they come into the town, the finishing town, they'll do a finishing circuit of 3 or 4K multiple times. So the crowd at the finish can sort of see the riders go by, you know, more than once. So they get a chance to identify with what's going on. But more importantly, you need to understand what bike racing is all about and understand the teamwork aspect, understand why a multi-day race, like a stage race, like the Tour de France or the Tour of Alberta, is different than a single-day race, and how the teams are working with their leader to ensure that the leader, A, stays in contention for the overall lead, but they also might be thinking about trying to win an individual stage as well. And there's different tactics that teams will employ based on who they're working for.
Okay. Well, it's definitely an interesting one. How closely do you watch the Tour? As a guy who is a participant, like, do you watch it all the time now?
I do. You know, I'm still a bike fan. I love watching the team tactics that come into play. I don't really necessarily care who wins. It's more about how the guy won, how the teams work together in order to bring their leader or put their leader in a winning position. And it doesn't always work. You know, there's only one guy that can win, but, you know, 10 teams are always trying to put their leader in a winning position. So it's fascinating to me to see how that plays out and, you know, looking at the strengths and weaknesses of each team and understanding, you know, what was the winning strategy for that particular day based on the conditions. And, of course, you can plan as much as you want, and the teams plan as best they can, but the conditions change. You know, it could be more wind, it could be raining, it could be a steeper finish at the finish than they thought it would be, and that completely changes the way that they thought it would play out. So they can only control so much, and then the rest of it, the guys have to, you know, think on their feet and work it out on the road, which is the fun part for me to watch out.
Alec, great stuff. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to talking again soon. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. So Tour of Alberta is September 1 to 4 over the Labor Day weekend. Jasper is up September 4th, and we finish in Edmonton September 4th.
Oh, yeah, it's good. I know the last 2 years ago, I think it finished in Edmonton. Then last year they finished, and now again it'll finish in Edmonton. I remember when they had the time trial in Edmonton down the hill. People were amazed at the speed the riders get, and that wasn't even that big of a hill. Right, like, yeah, it is amazing, especially now the advancements of the bikes. That's probably what's changed the most, is the weight of the bikes from 86 when you're on the Tour de France to the weight of the bikes now in 2017.
Yeah, I know. We raced over those same mountains, but our bikes were 7 pounds heavier. So I always say that, you know, we were the better cyclists for sure.
Nice. Appreciate your time, Alec. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks again.